Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Wonderful to have you with us. Back at our 10 o'clock, two-hour time slot, now that we're into the home stretch with the whole impeachment process. Tomorrow afternoon at 1, the Senate vote. Tonight, 6 o'clock, the State of the Union address with the Democratic response from NPR. You'll hear it all live along with NPR analysis. Coming up later this hour, we'll talk about Governor Gavin Newsom's proposal to suspend the physical education tests, the fitness tests that middle school kids go through every year. If you grew up in California like I did, you certainly remember those tests, if not fondly. We're going to talk about the reasons the governor is proposing a moratorium to study the ways that those tests can be adapted. But first, a federal judge today approved a settlement that moves Pacific Gas and Electric closer to getting out of bankruptcy. The judge signing off on a deal to refinance billions of dollars in debt to pay off PG&E bondholders. The bondholders had threatened to cause problems for the largest utility in the country. As part of this deal, bondholders agreed to abandon an alternative plan for getting PG&E out of bankruptcy and support the company's blueprint instead. But the question is, is this all going to work for the state of California, or is the state going to pursue taking over PG&E and running it as a public utility, a la the much smaller utilities in cities like Los Angeles, Anaheim, Burbank, other places that have their own water and power companies? Joining us is State Senator Scott Wiener of San Francisco, who's author of a bill, SB 917, which would allow for the state of California to take over PG&E. Senator Wiener, good to have you with us again.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start, first of all, with how this would work. What happens to shareholders in PG&E if this were to happen? And then what sort of liabilities would the state be taking on?
Sure. And to be clear, we're doing this because PG&E is a failed company. It has been has neglected its infrastructure for decades because it's been more focused on shareholder returns and dividends and Wall Street. And so we've seen these wildfires that are just out of control caused by PG&E and these mass blackouts of millions and millions of Californians causing huge harm. So PG&E's structure doesn't work, and my view is we need to make it a publicly owned utility that can focus exclusively on providing safe, reliable, and affordable energy and take Wall Street out of it. We have numerous examples, including in Los Angeles, of very successful publicly owned utilities, and that's what we want to do here. The state, through the State Power Authority, would purchase, PG&E would purchase the shares and take over the company, and then we would set up a public utility structure where we would transition the workforce over. It would be financed through revenue bonds that would be paid off over time, and ratepayers will see a better utility with more affordable rates. To be clear, it's going to be hard, a hard transition, whether we have PG&E or a public utility, because of the damage that PG&E has caused and the need to fix this infrastructure. But this will be a better way of getting it done.
What do you say to Southern Californians who might argue that this could be a potential benefit to Northern and Central California residents, but puts Southern Californians in a position of assuming what the costs are that come out of PG&E that we share if the state takes this over, and something we get no benefit from?
Yeah, this will not affect Southern Californians. We're not proposing that PG&E become like a state agency, like the Department of Health and Human Services. This is not a general fund liability. This will be an independent entity. It'll have a state governing board, but the actual operations will be performed through a public benefit corporation, and ratepayers as with any other utility, ratepayer funds will pay for the operations of the utility, for liabilities, and so forth.
So let me just throw a hypothetical, though, Senator. So let's say, because PG&E has some huge challenges, large swaths of rural areas and weather conditions and aging infrastructure, all kinds of stuff the state would take on here. So let's say that the rates would have to be raised to such a high level to deal with all this that it's just not tenable. Couldn't the state then turn to taxing to fill that gap instead of having ratepayers absorb all that?
No, this is not going to impact the general fund. It's not going to create any sort of statewide taxes. And to be clear, even if PG&E comes out of bankruptcy and just stays PG&E, and we put some Band-Aids and make some reforms and put some lipstick on it and say go forward, I think it's a bad result. But if that happens, ratepayers are going to be impacted over time, not Southern California ratepayers, Northern California ratepayers. And PG&E has already been seeking bailout from the state, and the state has said, no, you have to do it on your own. So any utility, including Edison or Sempra or PG&E, can always seek a state bailout. And that is a conversation that, you know, that the state has been having for decades when we've had these crises. But this situation will be no different. It's the ratepayers that will be financing the operations and the investments, as we always have. And it's going to be no different in that respect than it is now with PG&E. But what we will have with a public utility is a more responsibly run utility that's focused on the needs of our community, not on Wall Street, and will be putting more money into infrastructure investment and safety investments instead of siphoning off money for dividends for shareholders.
We're talking with State Senator Scott Wiener of San Francisco, who's proposing legislation that would allow for the state of California to take over PG&E, the behemoth utility which serves Northern and Central California customers. PG&E just released a statement to us. This from PG&E spokesman says, "We oppose Scott Wiener's proposed framework, and PG&E's facilities are not for sale. Additionally, changing the structure of the company would not create a safer or cleaner operation. Recent takeover attempts have largely failed due to a range of factors. We remain firmly convinced that a government or customer takeover is not the optimal solution that will address the challenges ahead and serve the long-run interests of all customers in the communities we serve. We remain focused on fairly resolving wildfire claims and exiting the Chapter 11 process as quickly as possible. PG&E is committed to working with all stakeholders to make the necessary changes moving forward to build a stronger and safer PG&E and to be the company our customers and communities want and deserve. As we shared in our California Public Utilities Commission testimony on Friday, PG&E is pursuing a plan to regionalize our operations to better achieve the customer-focused health, welfare, and safety outcomes everyone wants, expects, and deserves." That is a statement released to us just moments ago from PG&E. Senator Wiener, your response.
Yeah, I mean, those are words. And honestly, PG&E has so little credibility. This is a company, it blew up a town 10 years ago in San Bruno, not a town, but a neighborhood. It has caused huge wildfires, incinerating tens of thousands of homes with people dying and entire communities being destroyed or badly damaged. And it's a company that has allowed its system to fall apart. So PG&E has no real credibility. Of course, they don't want a public takeover. But honestly, this is not about what PG&E wants. This is about what is best for our community. And Public Power has a strong track record throughout California and throughout the country. Very successful models of utilities focused on the public benefit, not on Wall Street benefit. And so, you know, whatever PG&E wants, we want what's best for California and for the ratepayers, and a publicly owned utility, I think, is the best option.
Senator, thank you for being with us. We appreciate it.
thank you so much for having me.
Scott Weiner, a Democratic state senator from San Francisco and surrounding communities. Chance for you to ask questions about this or weigh in with your comments before we get to our next two guests on this topic. Do you think it makes sense for the state of California to take over Pacific Gas and Electric? This wouldn't only be the largest public utility in the country. It is the largest utility in the country. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. With me is Michael Wara, who's director of the Climate and Energy Policy Program at Stanford University's Woods Institute for the Environment. Thank you very much, Mr. Wara. Appreciate your being with us again on AirTalk. What do you see as the pros and cons of this idea?
Well, I think the key focus, as Senator Weiner pointed out, should be on improving the physical risks and the financial risks that PG&E poses for Northern California. And I think the governor's statements with respect to the PG&E bankruptcy plan really emphasize that issue as well. You know, the key issue is how do we change governance within the company, within the guts of the company? How do we fix the problems? And how do we minimize the impacts of where we are now to the residents of Northern California that ultimately have to foot the bill, as Senator Weiner points out? And I would tend to agree with Governor Newsom's view that because of where we are in the bankruptcy, probably a private sector exit is preferred if it can be done in a way that doesn't create kind of unacceptable risks for ratepayers. And I think whether that's true or not is still uncertain. So it's good to have this kind of a public option on the table and pushing the conversation. I would say, though, that we need to be clear and careful that public options are not a panacea, right? The key is going to be whether a public option actually improves safety rather than just changing who owns the wires.
Well, and one of our listeners, JSK, writes on the AirTalk page, how would the valuation be determined for the state buyout of PG&E? Do you have any sense of how that would be done?
Well, this is a key challenge because within the context of the bankruptcy, parties to the bankruptcy have the option to oppose a proposal like this to buy out the existing shareholders of the company, and they're going to argue about how much they should get paid for their shares of PG&E, and that could create substantial delays in the whole process. And I think time is of essence, right? Right now, it's been raining in some parts of the state. The fuels are moist at any rate, and we don't need to worry about wildfire, but wildfire season will come again quickly, and we want to make sure that whatever we do as a state keeps us moving in the right direction. We had a relatively successful fire season this year. Cal Fire deserves a lot of credit for that. But we want to make sure that all the trains are running in the right direction because fire season will be with us, you know, really before we know it.
Constantine in Burbank says, here we have our own public utility, and I laugh when I see private companies fail. They seem to be terribly managed. Our public utility is truly a great system. Constantine, thanks very much. Of course, when you look at the publicly run systems, cities like Pasadena or Burbank, they are comparatively small. Los Angeles, obviously, is a big utility, but even it is dwarfed by the size of PG&E. Jimmy in downtown L.A. says, bottom line of this, if Senator Weiner wants to move PG&E to be a public utility, is the state really willing to assume the risk of all that liability? Let me bring into the conversation the communications chief with the Consumer Advocacy Group, the Utility Reform Network, known as TURN, Mindy Spatt. Mindy, thank you for being with us again. We appreciate it. I know you generally support this, but what are your caveats or your concerns?
Great to be with you, Larry. Yes. Believe me, TURN and most consumers in Northern California are not going to be shedding any tears over the exit of PG&E's shareholders. There is just nothing beneficial to us customers by having shareholders make profits off this business. We are concerned, of course. TURN's been around for 45 years, and we've won numerous consumer protections at the PUC. Whether PG&E goes public or not, we want to make sure those consumer protections for low-income customers, for cost-effective investments, are retained. And we also don't want to see a geographical breakup of the system, because we're very concerned about lower-income customers in the higher-risk fire areas being broken away from the wealthier coastal areas.
All right. Are you concerned at all about potential liability from fire damage caused by what would be state of California equipment?
Well, here's the thing. If PG&E were a person, it would be in jail right now. There's no way the liability situation could look worse. They've been responsible for close to 100 thefts of their own customers.
But in this case, you'd have liability that would extend to the state itself, right, as opposed to the private company.
We have got to hope that the state entity, and we hope the state entity would not be neglecting things like tree trimming. Now, PG&E's history of neglecting tree trimming goes back to 1994, and that's not a climate change issue. It's simply an issue of their criminality.
All right. I want to thank you very much for being with us, sharing your thoughts. And again, our AirTalk page at kpcc.org is available for you to comment on this bill, which is proposed by State Senator Scott Wiener of San Francisco, the Democrat, which calls for the state of California to take over PG&E and to run it as a state-operated utility. My thanks to our guest, Senator Wiener. Also, thanks to Mindy Spatt of TURN, the consumer group, and Michael Wora, Stanford University, where he directs the Climate and Energy Policy Program. Coming up, we're going to take a look at the future of those fitness tests that are given to all California middle schoolers. Governor Gavin Newsom is proposing a moratorium on that testing for a couple of major reasons. But I'd like to hear from you, your memory of taking those tests. If you grew up in California, you took those fitness tests. What are your memories? I think for many of us, they're quite indelible. And what do you think of suspending or doing away with those tests? Were you a supporter? You think it was actually helpful to your fitness as a kid? 866-893-KPCC. Back in 1 minute.